Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook, / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter, at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course, at thekickasslife.com.
G'day, this is Stuart Emery, and you're listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey there, and welcome to the show. It is Thursday, and I am extremely late. I do apologize. I've just had a very, very busy day. We actually had a little staycation last night. I had to come into Kelowna from the lake, and so I decided to stay at a resort very close to us, and my day started early, and I haven't got around to the show. So here I am. I am actually sitting in my car using my telephone to record the show, and it's 3:30 in the afternoon, so this won't go up until probably about 6 now. So again, I apologize for that. It's just been one of those days. Picking up the boys, and we're heading back out to the lake for the weekend. It's the last weekend of the summer, or their summer vacation, so we'll be out there doing some wake surfing and some tubing and some just having fun. That being said, though, you know, I was really thinking about what I wanted to talk about today, and there's a the last few days I've had some interesting conversations, and I was talking to a lady who you're going to hear on the show possibly next week, and you know, she brought to mind something that happened to her in nature that sort of made her more aware of something bigger at hand. And, you know, again, you know, on this show, I don't typically step into politics. I don't step into religion too much. You know, I don't step into those realms. But I do want to talk a little bit about this, something that occurred with me and that really changed a lot of my philosophies. It was actually a very, very interesting thing and almost surreal, almost unbelievable in some ways. And I kind of wish that I'd written it down at the time to get all of the nuances of every detail, because they were so profound. And this isn't that long ago, by the way. So in saying that, I just want to sort of talk to everyone out there. I know that we have a lot of people who have deep faith who listen to the show. And sort of as a kick-ass life practitioner, I really want you to start thinking about, you know, words and how words have this impact on each of us. And so for some people, if they use the word God, you know, other people would use the word Allah or Buddha or, you know, the universe or spirit or whatever. Everyone has a different term for their faith. And if we could just, if I could just keep the door open in this conversation, that whatever word I use, that you insert your own word. Because really, I, you know, again, this show is not about changing faith at all. It's really about, I think, magnifying the beauty within a faith, magnifying the beauty within a person to really step into living a greater life and contributing at a greater level and impacting lives on a greater scale. So I just want to ask permission then, whatever word I use, that you insert your own word so you can stay in the conversation. Because typically what happens, if somebody has a strong belief, then when another word comes up, it can switch them off from the conversation. And I don't want you to be switched off. I want you to just be switched on and understanding that the language I use may not be congruent with your language, but the intention will be congruent with your faith. And so then if we can all, like, and I often do this, you know, at my programs, if my program falls on a Sunday, I'll often do some form of a, you know, a spiritual kind of a segment for about 35, 40 minutes. And so many people tell me how beautiful it is to be, you know, within a room full of of people of all different faiths and backgrounds and different belief systems, and yet really sharing the moment together in a very, very open-hearted way, understanding that each one of them have their permission to worship exactly as they would within their own faith, but be connected to all these other faiths in the same moment. And it's so powerful. It's so beautiful. And quite often I'll have people even hold hands. And so there'll be people from, you know, again, completely different ideals around their faith, sitting next to each other, holding hands, sharing deeply and practicing their faith in their own way, with their own language in their own head, and yet being in a room full of people of all faiths. And so for me, that's really, you know, it's a very beautiful and powerful thing. So again, getting back to what I struggle with, when I first started this journey, my personal growth journey, as it was, my son was maybe 2 or 3. I started to notice that the poison that I sort of was raised with was coming out of my own mouth. I wasn't doing great as a dad. I wasn't doing great as a husband. You know, I just wasn't. And so, you know, the sort of the journey, my former wife, I had a lady on Facebook say I shouldn't keep using the word ex, but, you know, my ex-wife called herself the ex. So, but my ex-wife, Pam, she invited me to go to this event. I said, sure, you know. And again, I was quite a different person back then, but I was always open to try new things. So I go to my first personal growth event, and it's T. Harv Eker's most sort of highest echelon program, his warrior camp. So, you know, you're doing fire walks, you're doing high ropes courses, you're doing all these crazy things. You know, it's all about that warrior energy, you know, and I kind of have the warrior energy inside me anyway, so, you know, you'd have to shoot me to stop me. But I go to this program and I realize during sort of day 2 that this is what I was called to do. You know, I realized that in that moment that I was meant to be a trainer. And sort of those 2 most important days, the day you're born, the day you discover why. And so I wait till the end of the program, and I go up to Harv and I say, listen, I want to train this program. And he's forever the marketer, right? He's like, yeah, sure, no worries. He said, you just have to do all my programs, and then when you've done all of them, then you'll be eligible. So I'm like, okay. So I buy Quantum Leap. I think I did 9 programs in 1 year, took a year off, and I did all these different programs, personal growth, warrior camp, guerrilla business school, you know, wizard camp, all these different, you know, millionaire school, I mean, all these different millionaire mind intensive, and I do program after program after program, and all that good stuff going in, all this new information, all these new learnings in a condensed fashion, suddenly start to sculpt slightly differently what's going on for me. But, you know, I also volunteer a lot of programs so I can get close to Harv and model him and watch him, and I'm always practicing, getting ready for this opportunity to train. And interestingly enough, we do a warrior camp, and one of the evenings we do a fire walk. And, you know, I mean, since then, this particular day, I've done hundreds, really thousands of people over a fire. But, you know, and we do, I mean, Tony Robbins does about 12 feet, and ours was, I think it was about 30 feet. So ours was about 3 times as longer than the fire walk that Tony Robbins does. Not saying it's any different, but it was just a longer, much more drawn out process. But, you know, what we noticed in all these different fireworks, and back then I was really volunteering, I was still trying to prove myself, because I thought I had to at the time, to Harv Eker, to get on his stage. So, you know, I didn't want anything to go wrong. I was kind of like, really, you know, I got a job as his TA, which is training assistant, you know, so I was getting very close to him. I was doing an exceptional job, blah, 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 right? And so I was in the right place doing the right things. But this particular firewalk, we had about 250 people go over, and the volunteers all went at the end. So this is pretty early on in my evolution, as it was. And there was a lot of ego in these volunteers for some reason. I kind of noticed the ego. And the only time we ever saw people get burnt, and some people did get burnt, was when their ego was really flaring up. It was really funny. The fire had this kind of funny way of sniffing out an ego and giving someone sort of burnt feet as a little bit of a prize. And somebody could walk across right in front of them minutes before them and have nothing, and then somebody else could walk right behind him and get burnt. Anyway, so there was a lot of tension. There was a lot of ego. So these volunteers wanted to show people that, you know, they wanted extra hot. So they put a lot more, you know, a lot of fresh coals down. And I just remember feeling at the time that there was something weird about this energy. Anyway, I ended up walking across the coals, and I got severely burnt, not just a little bit burnt, but I was so afraid to tell anyone because that's who I was. I was an extreme prover in my life. I wouldn't tell anyone any of my weaknesses, let alone this. Here I am standing there. So I remember going standing with my bare feet and trying to squish them into the cold mud, and they were just horrendously burned, right? So that night we go back to a tent, and we had this big tent right by a river up near Whistler, British Columbia, and I go and stand out in the middle of this raging white water, freezing cold river, and I put my feet in it, and I stand there, and I look up, and the Milky Way's out. And for the first time in my life, I asked for help, you know, because I'd been sort of a survivor my whole life, you know, and I'd always been sort of doing it on my own. And I remember looking up, and I really didn't have a relationship with any kind of faith. I didn't use the word God. I didn't have this ability to really articulate that. But I looked up at the universe, and here's what my struggle was. My struggle was, I was also learning how to, you know, I was being coached how to be a trainer. So I was, you know, I was modeling Harv, and I was doing these different things. One of the things that Harv said a lot from stage, he used the word spirit. And I had this real problem with sort of saying, you know, the great spirit, he would call it, right? And I had this real issue with using that term. And I'm thinking, I don't want to be like some puppet that says words that I don't believe. And I'd never had this experience with spirit. I hadn't had this whoa moment ever, right? And so here I am in this moment standing in this river, desperately not wanting to show my weakness to anyone, desperately not wanting anyone to know that I got burned, thinking that somehow it was going to end this chance of me doing exactly what I'd set out to do. And I remember standing there in this river looking up at the Milky Way. I could hear the mumble of voices off in the distance, and I just sort of asked for help. And in that moment, right, I was just, you know, the point of surrender in many ways. Anyway, so I get out of the water and I go back in, and everyone goes to bed. It's pretty late anyway. It's about 2 a.m. And I'm leading a hike the next day up a mountain. One of the events there is called Peaks, where we take a team of people up a mountain. And it's kind of like, it's a very interesting, very intense exercise, and a really, really hard climb. And here I am sitting there alone. I find 2 medical kits. I go and grab them, and I get all this stuff. I start putting things on my feet. I bandage both my feet up, put my socks on, and it's about 4 a.m. by the time I go to sleep. But we have to be up at like 5:30. And finally, you know, I don't really sleep, but I get up the next morning, and I've got these. I've done my. I do this meditation when I'm hurting, so try and heal myself. So I've tried doing that, you know, but there was a lot going on in my head about, you know, what I was making this mean in Harv's eyes about my own weakness. You know, the fact I can't do a firewalk, right? So next morning, a few things go weird. One is, as we're driving down to this particular location, it's the last warrior camp of the year. This big group of horses come out and stop our car, and they're brushing up against this van that we're driving. And, you know, and I'm the leader of this particular, you know, I wasn't leading the whole warrior camp, but I was leading this particular event. And these weird, all these war horses in the middle of the road. I didn't think anything of it. So we, you know, we go through these horses and we drive there. And we're meant to, the guy that was meant to do it's called a rabbit, the guy that would run off in front. So he would run ahead, and then the team would have to climb this mountain to make sure everyone made it. And so, you know, you'd try and keep up with the rabbit, or at least some of the team would. And there was this whole team event about getting everyone to the top for this experience at the summit. And so what happened was that the guy that was going to be the rabbit, he couldn't do it. So here I am with these bandaged feet. I haven't told anyone about it. I'm still sort of hiding it. They're hurting like heck. And suddenly, so I'm the rabbit, and I go running off up this mountain. And it was funny because it just seemed like in no time at all, I was at the top. And it was a really, again, a very, very strenuous, hard climb. But I forgot my radio. So for the first time on a mountain when I was driving, I'd been running this event for a number of weeks. I didn't have a radio. So there's no contact. So I was completely alone with me, my thoughts, everything else like that. So I go up there and I had this very, very spiritual experience, you know, and at the very, very top of this mountain, there's this log that goes out into this turquoise blue lake. And so as the team came up, they would come out and they would walk across this log and they would stand at the end there and they would do a gratitude. And it was kind of a symbolic, right? And when I left that day, there, we worked with some First Nations people. They did a Nanipi, which was another part of the program, a sweat lodge. And they'd given me an offering for the mountain. They said, you know, we've had a great time here. Would you mind putting this offering on the mountain? I said, sure, no worries. So anyway, we go, we do the climb. I've had this whole day on my own, you know, I mean, a lot of time privately, a lot of time really introspectively, no noise in my head, no radios. You know, I was up the mountain in no time at all. It felt like minutes. I felt very energized. This whole thing comes down. Everyone gets safely off the mountain. We get to the bottom, and I'm doing a debrief. And this whole thing has been like I've been hiding this what's gone on with my feet. And I'm standing on this log, and I've got like 35, 40 participants who are now doing a debrief. And as I stand there and I talk about, and I'm still again struggling with this whole word spirit and the idea of what it really means. And I'm standing there on this log, but I've had a real experience this day of surrender. But I'm still, my proving self is still there. I'm still afraid of this whole situation, but I'm really sort of, nature's got deep inside of me this day. I've had this time alone, you know, on the mountain, and it's been very, very beautiful. I'm standing on this log and I'm about to do this debrief. And as I put my hands out, this bird flies out of this tree and lands on my hand. And I'm standing there and this is what comes out of my mouth. It was so bizarre. I said, everyone close your eyes. The Great Spirit is with us. And this is coming out of my mouth. This is a guy that struggled this whole time with this one idea that I use this term. And this bird sat on my hand. People were standing there stunned as I'm standing on this log. I look like the bird whisperer. You know, this bird flies out of a tree, a wild animal. I mean, we're in Whistler, right? And it's perched on my finger, right? And so anyway, I do this kind of thing, and I tell people about this offering. I said, you know, the First Nations brothers that we have here, they've asked us to do this offering on the mountain, so we're going to take you down to a beautiful place. The bird flies away, and it was kind of bizarre, and I could see people like really thinking, this is really odd. So anyway, so I take everyone for a hike down to this beautiful lake where we're going to do this offering. And I get back on a log and I start to talk about, you know, the gratitude we have for being on the mountain, blah, blah, blah. And I put my hands out again and a different bird, I know, I told you it's going to sound weird. Different bird flies out of the tree, lands on my other hand. So now I've had two birds land on me in the last, you know, 35 minutes. And I'm really overcome with this feeling of connection to the earth, connection to the universe. Here I am doing a First Nations offering, and I've got birds landing on top of me, you know, and I'm still going through a transition. I mean, that's still that sort of, the guy that I was acting out to be, not the guy I was born to be, was very much a part of my life back then. You know, I lived in a very much a proving world. I didn't tell the truth very often. I mean, that was a very different person. And so so this bird flies out of this tree, and so there's, again, people are now really shocked. You know, I'm standing on this other log. It's 20 or maybe 15-minute walk from where we just were. A completely different bird flies out of the tree and lands on my hand. It's like, whoa! All right? Anyway, so we do this offering, and we place this offering, and so I walk back, and now I'm feeling this real feeling of connection that I haven't ever felt before. And I'm really surrendering to this idea that, you know, that there's, as I'm connecting deeply to this feeling that I'm sort of attracting to me this unusually open and beautiful energy. And it's almost like I can sense what's happening. I mean, I know it sounds all weird and woo-woo, right? But I wasn't a weird woo-woo guy. I was a guy that was struggling with weird and woo-woo. And I was really like, you know, having a real dilemma with language. And here I am now being taught by nature to shut the heck up and really feel into my body. And so anyway, so we go walking off down this trail. and I get everyone back in there. I'm running this group. I get people back into the cars, and I turn around, and this baby bear, I swear, a little black bear, comes out of the woods and walks up to me. I know it sounds horrendously weird. Woo, woo, woo. But this is what happened. I can't make this stuff up. Right? This little black bear walks up to me, and I'm thinking, holy crap, the mother's going to be here any second and rip my head off. The mother never came out. Never saw a mother. This little baby black bear came up and sort of sat very close to where I was standing, and I was very, very nervous at first. And then I just sort of looked at it and think, wow, how beautiful is this? And these things happen all day long with you know, the horses, the birds, the bear, you know. And finally, I got in the car, and we're driving back, and I'm told people are sharing their experiences. And, of course, the bird topic has come up a couple of times. Not everyone saw the bear, but the people in my car did because I was standing close to the car. And it was kind of like, well, what's going on here? This is kind of weird. And I went to the very end, and suddenly I said, look, I got a confession to make. And I tell them the whole story, and I take my boots off. I show them my feet, and it's all bandaged up, you know. And I mean, I hadn't dove in the lake. Most people dove in the lake, and I would have normally, but I was afraid to show my feet. And I talk about how, you know, my whole life I'd really been consumed with fear of who I was, and that somehow if people found out who I really was, I was in that proving game where I needed to be liked. I needed other people's approval. And then this journey with Harv and this program and really getting in touch with this bigger picture and this bigger story and this openness to what's really happening in our world around us and this connection to nature, all these different things. And I share this story and people are just sitting there with their mouth open in this car. And there are my feet on the dashboard, completely bandaged up, you know, and all the skin has gone off the bottom of my feet. I mean, it was a pretty severe burn. What was interesting was, after I shared this story, it's almost like my feet healed very, very quickly, and it never became a problem. I didn't have, didn't have to have surgery or anything like that, but it was a very severe burn. But it just sort of healed very, very quickly. But what it did is it opened a whole new door, a whole new chapter, and a whole new awareness and an understanding in my life from this feeling of hopelessness the night before, where I was so consumed with my own fear that I was afraid that people found out that somehow I would be worthy enough to teach this program, or somehow I couldn't show weakness, or I couldn't tell the truth, and I couldn't be in that place. And yet this sequence of events became a very, very important piece. And what was really funny was I'll post this photograph with this particular podcast. Is 2 days ago, and why I thought of this was we had a little baby bird. Well, not baby, I'm not even sure it was a baby, but this bird flew into the kitchen. So I said, oh, don't worry, Jen, I'll get it. So I went and put my finger out, and this little bird sat on my finger. It's a wild bird, of course. And I had this photograph of me in my house coat. It's first thing in the morning. And I've got this bird in my hand, and we're outside the house. It could easily fly away, but it just chooses not to. And it sits there and just looks at me like I'm some kind of like, hello, Mom. and it brought back this story of, and funny enough, because I had to pre-record next week's show because this lady was available. And so we talked about our experience. I said on the show, so this is kind of backwards. You're going to hear the story now, and then next week's show, you'll understand what we talked about. And I shared that, you know, one of the turning points for me was this experience with nature, and my great teacher really was that. And she talked about the same thing for her, how she has had that experience with a hummingbird. And so you have to listen for that and see, you know, the correlation between the two stories. So, you know, so that's kind of really, I felt compelled to share this because, you know, there was obviously a big journey ahead. And what was really funny was with Harv, I go to one of my last events of that year. I think it's the 9th program I did that year. It's called Wizard Camp. And Harv sat me down outside and said, hey, listen, there's no chance you're ever going to be on my stage. And at that point, I'd had these experiences. And I felt differently. I didn't feel like at the beginning I was quite terrified to talk to Harv, and a lot of people were. He's quite intimidating. He's a great guy, and a wonderful man, but he's definitely puts a lot of fear into a lot of people. And he says, you'll never be on my stage. Because I was a little cocky and all these different things. And I looked at him, I said, you know, Harv, you can't stop me. I said, you just can't stop me. I said, I know I'm meant to do this. I said, and what's going to happen is I'm going to be ready. You're going to get sick, or someone's going to get sick, and you're going to need me, and I'm going to be ready. Just know that. And so I got this kind of flat, you're not doing it. I don't want you on my stage, right? And I don't know if he was testing me or whatever, right? But about 6 or 7 weeks later, he got sick, and there was one other trainer that was in training. His name was Rob Riopel. He got sick. He went off and did a million. There was 2 millionaire mines running on the same weekend, and there was this one in New Jersey. And so I got the call. Hey, you know, if you want to do this, we need someone, and Harv's sick. And I said, all right, I'll do it. So my very first millionaire mine intensive was in New Jersey. And what was hilarious was, you know, I started to get sick. I started to get flu. I was a lot of pressure on me. This is a big deal. Now you suddenly got the stage, right? And my jacket caught fire and blew all the lights in the convention center. You know, it was really, really, really bizarre. But it opened the door because my sales were on par with what Harv would normally sell. So he realized I could do the job, and that's really what started this journey as a trainer. And I wonder what would have happened if my feet hadn't got burned that night. Whether the world I lived in, which was one of really. More protection of myself and proving and again, you know, substantiating and really not living an authentic life, not really knowing what that was, and certainly not living a connected life. And so there's this wonderful, wonderful journey that has aspired since then, or transpired, I'm sorry, for since then. And it's so funny now, you know, the other morning when this little bird's laying on my finger here and is looking at me in the face, I mean, this is how many years ago would that be? That's going to be 10 years ago, 12 years ago, maybe. No, 10, maybe 9, 10 years ago. And so suddenly this little bird looking at me, and I thought, wow, you know, it's funny, because that was the experience, the same way I felt as I looked into this little animal's eyes, that's willingly sitting on your hand, you know, a wild animal that was willingly sort of engaging with you in this most beautiful way. And there's a moment there when that happens, I think, that is inexplicable in that, you know, you feel something that's so raw and so beautiful and so powerful. So with that being said, I suppose, you know, I'm kind of almost at my 30-minute mark here as I look down on this clock. And, you know, again, I want to sort of keep talking about this idea of what's coming up. You know, that this show is really, it's molding me as a person. And I believe it's coming together to create a great impact in the world. And not alone. This is something we do together. This is our show, your show. And I want you to really be thinking about the role and the part that you play in this. And what can we really do as we step into, each of us step into our greater selves and step into that authentic part of ourselves. When we step into that connected part of ourselves where we are connected to all things and all opportunities and where we live really truly kick-ass lives. And then what do you want to do with it? I mean, what can we do together that's impossible to do alone? What can this stand? What will this show be able to, you know, shift in not only you, but the people you share it with? And then how do we get to play together and make this so much more than it is? And that's what I feel on the cusp of right now. I feel a calling a deep responsibility that there's a message within this particular show. There's a message within what we've shared over this last year and a half that is truly good, that really has a place in the world and can really truly make a difference. And I know that you're a part of it. If you're listening to this right now, there's a reason. And I know that each of us is called, you know, and not everyone hears. Not everyone hears that calling, because we do get, we get sideswiped by our own interpretation of life and our own language and how we can distance ourselves from other people, from things that are different. And I think that those times are changing. I think it's time we can have our own feelings, our own beliefs, our own faiths, and stand side by side with people of different faiths and different feelings, and do together what is impossible to do alone. And so I invite you into this journey, into a deeper journey, a richer journey, And I'm really open to your input and open to your suggestions and thoughts. I actually posted a question on the Facebook page yesterday. I'd love you to go in there and have a look. I mean, lots of people liked it. But, you know, I think liking something is such a cop-out, to be honest. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't like it, but it's just like tick. Take a moment and answer the question, if you would. Because a like is one thing, but it's like, you know, it's like, well, I'm busy, I don't really want to do anything, I read it or half read it, I just make you feel good, I don't need the like. What I want is your comments. What is it that's shifting in you? Go and read the question. You'll see this beautiful picture of a young boy's face with a globe, the world printed on it, and you'll see my question. This is on the Kick-Ass Live podcast with David Wood Facebook page. And answer the question, please. And those 66 of you that pushed the like button, go back in there and think about the question and answer it, because that really is very helpful for me to be able to see inside this journey that we're about to, this next chapter of the Kick-Ass Life, this evolving chapter. And so I'd be very grateful if you do that. And again, and just start to let this ruminate inside of you about what does this really mean? What can we do together that's impossible to do alone? What impact can this truly have in the world? What difference can we make wherever you're at in this world right now, listening to this show, 171 countries. And by the way, I'm totally grateful. And we're coming up to the 30-minute mark now in about 20 seconds. So you know what I'm going to say in a second, don't you? We're going to see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.